This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I am Jeremy Lopez, and as always, I'm so excited and thrilled that each one of you decided to join with me and be with me today on this Thoughts Become Things podcast. You know, many of you are still in quarantine, and what I tell people is I'm not being forced to stay at home. I have to stay at home. It's an honor and a privilege and an opportunity for me to stay home, to build memories with my loved ones, my family members, to be creative, for me to sort of sit down and think for a moment, you know, where can I be creative in my life? How can I change and shift my life? And work on your mind. You know, the main thing I would tell people during this time of quarantine is it is a powerful opportunity for you to take the time to recreate the images in your mind that you know God wants you to have. Basically, you know, reprogram your mind. What better time than to sort of chill and reprogram your brain? Be able to get your brain in a place where you're formulating new habits, new mindsets, new this and new that. I mean, you know, once this is over with, people go back to work in the offices, your life is going to be flooded again. You're going to be flooded with having to work and having to drive, and you're going to get back in your old routine. But the good thing is you have this great opportunity right now to change the way you live, change the way you think to where your life can be able to be different. You can create new habits in your life. What a great opportunity for us to have that privilege to do that right now. So you know what? I'm not complaining. I always tell myself, if you know the value of yourself, if you know your self-worth, your value, then you'll be able to understand that I can't help but to create, because my life is worth it. My life deserves to be honored with my own creativeness that my Heavenly Father has given me. So that's a great thing this hour. Now, what I want to talk to you guys about today is going to be powerful, because it's going to be actually how to find peace in your life. Okay, I'm going to give you some different things that are going to help you guys, along with scriptures. You know, because many of you can read scriptures like God will give you the peace that surpasses your natural understanding. You know, there's a lot of great powerful scriptures in the Bible that deals with peace, but I also want to bring a little bit of practicality to it as far as some principles that you guys can help out with as well, that will give you food for thought to go along with those scriptures. But before I do, I want to tell each and every one of you, for those of you on our Hot Off the Press monthly book club, those of you who get my monthly books, well, guess what? We're coming into the month of May soon, and the book is already ready for the month of May. Can you believe it? I'm excited and thrilled because we're going to get back on schedule, and the book for the month of May is actually going to be called The Seers, and we're going to deal with Seers, which is the eyes of the kingdom. It's a really huge, thick book, and I've got a lot of twist in it, a lot of twist that many of you are going to be surprised and shocked at, in a good way, to say, wow, I've never read this in another book when it deals with the seeing ability from the kingdom of God and the power of seers. And so you need this book. And the great thing is you also get the workbook with it. There's a workbook for that month of May. So those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, when you get on the monthly book club program, you get a book of mine every month, brand new, because I actually write a book for that month for my partners. And they're usually pretty thick books from 200 to 300 pages. And every couple of months, you'll get a workbook with the book free of charge for those on the program. For those of you who are not on the program, you have to pay more money for the book, and you actually pay full retail price for the workbook. That's not fun, all right? So I want to see if you guys can sign up for the monthly book club, because once again, you'll get the book every month, plus the additional workbooks as they come out, you know, from maybe time to time. Plus, you get them all personally autographed. You get free shipping in the continental USA. You also get the free ebook with that book sent to your email free. And that's a $10.99 value. And so you're actually saving a lot of money. So those of you not on the program, you're wasting your money. Those of you on the program, you're smart, because you're getting book every month for the set retail price, or the set price of $15, free shipping, no extra retail cost for the book, the free ebook, personally autographed, shipped to you. Hey, you guys are the smart ones, all right? So those of you not on the program, get on the program today. You can go on the website and find Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club. Club, sign up for it, or call the office if you want to. You can say, I want to sign up for the Monthly Book Club from Jeremy Lopez. So today I want to talk to you guys about some points on peace, okay? Once again, besides all the scriptures we read in the Bible, which many of you probably know, or hopefully you will know, you should know, but I want to give you guys some practical things that would maybe give you food for thought, all right? So, in the midst of finding peace, one of the first things I like to tell people is this. Don't make the issue any bigger than it already is. So, if you have a life maybe of situations, full of situations, problems, you know, things you're having to go through, remember this. This too shall pass. I love that phrase, because this too shall pass. And it does. Because not everything stays the same throughout your life. Things evolve and then you get involved in things and then you get out of things. And things tend to shift and move on, and you move on. And so, this too shall pass is a powerful statement. But a lot of times you have to remember that sometimes we tend as human beings to make the problem bigger than it really is. And if you make the problem bigger than it really is, what happens is you're actually creating more havoc to the problem, because you're causing life to be brought to the problem, and it's going to expand. Because remember, where attention goes, energy flows. And it also represents the fact that what I think upon begins to expand. So I don't want to give attention to any negativity or any situation that I'm already having problems trying to work through, right? I don't want to feed it intention, nor do I want to feed it information. I want to feed it nothing. Because whatever you don't feed starves. And so remember that when you look at a situation, don't make it bigger than it already is in consciousness. Because if you do, in reality, it's going to become bigger than you think. You're going to find yourself saying, oh, I just get deeper and deeper into it. Oh man, this thing is bigger than I thought. Because you're creating it to be bigger than you thought. So don't do that. All right? Second point I would say is you've got to learn to slow down. Got to learn to slow down. You know, a really cool song that I like by Taylor Swift is actually called You Need to Calm Down. And it's actually, you know, pretty cool. It's like, you need to calm down. You're being too loud. And that phrase stuck in my brain the first time I heard this song, because it's true. Sometimes we tend to get over-dramatized on situations that we really just need to chill on. And so I would say to you, first of all, learn to slow down. If you learn to calm down and slow down, then you realize that if you're at a fast pace of life, first of all, what's going to happen is you're going to overlook making memories. Okay. Second of all, you're going to find yourself cutting corners, microwavable living, as I call it, which will not be healthy for you, because you do not get the quality of every day-to-day life, and therefore your life will not be full of quality. Your life will be full of quantity of hurriedness, of fastness, of going through your days, flying through your days, flying through the weeks, and flying through the years. And before long, you've missed hundreds of opportunities that would have knocked at your door in that now moment that you would learn to live in, but you didn't live in the now moment, so you miss many open doors of opportunities in the now moment, because you're too busy hurrying it up and not slowing down. So I would say slow down on your life. When you slow down in your life, you will invest more integrity in the situation. You'll invest more integrity when you slow down and give it your all, and you won't have so many problems. People that have problems are people who juggle things so quickly all at one time, and they get themselves in a bind and a mess. Don't do that. Find yourself where you're slowing down. Give each and every moment opportunity and integrity, because opportunity is there. And if you give every moment opportunity for God to show up, God shows up and shows out and shows off in your life. But you also want to be able to give every moment integrity. And how do you do that? By slowing down. When you slow down, you will, as the old saying, you know, goes, you know, slow down and smell the coffee. Because if you slow down, you'll pick up things you normally would have missed if you go fast. Next point I would bring to you is make sure you're decluttering your world. I mean, make sure you are living a stress-free life. Many people say, well, it's easy for you to say, Jeremy, because you do this and this in your business, but I do this and this. Let me tell you something. There's no excuse. I've been where many of you are. I used to work 9-to-5 jobs, going, driving to an office, you know, in contact with people all the time, and now I'm in more contact with people than ever before. You know, I used to travel. I still sometimes travel. Went to Canada not too long ago. You know, in fact, I have a Canada conference is coming up very soon here in the next couple of weeks, so I'll be, you know, videoed before a lot of people. So I'm familiarized, folks, with working 9-to-5 jobs. I'm familiarized with being around a lot of people. I'm familiarized with seeing situations all around me, having to juggle things at one time. But I also know that I was causing stress to come upon my life. I couldn't blame things. See, if you think about it, you go back to the book of Genesis, you realize the very first man ever, named Adam, actually was a troublemaker. He played the blame game because Adam was given authority over the garden. He was given authority over the animals. He named the animals, for goodness sake. God didn't even name them. He gave Adam the power to say, whatever you name them, they're going to be. I mean, come on, folks. Is that not the power of creativity? Why? Because God knows that we are co-creators. And he gave Adam the opportunity to say, you can name whatever you want, and I'll back you up on that when it deals with my animal kingdom. I mean, come on, folks. But also, he was a little troubled because one thing Adam did do is Adam, you know, wanted to blame Eve. And when he took of the fruit, it's like, man, it's that woman you gave me. That's what the Bible says. It's the woman you gave me that caused me to eat it. And so he was a little trouble back in the day. He loved to sort of, you know, get involved in things you shouldn't get involved in, eat things you shouldn't eat, and then blame everybody else for his problems. Isn't that just like humanity? We love to be able to get ourselves in situations and say, it's her fault, it's his fault. Hey, look what they made me do. No one makes you do anything unless somebody has actually got a gun pointed at you, which hopefully they don't. They've handcuffed you and they're dragging you. No one's making you do anything, all right? So remember, it's no one's fault but yourself, and it's okay to take responsibility. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't make you horrible. Oh, look what I've done. You know, what happens is when people start blaming themselves, they always follow up with that sort of false humility of, oh, I'm so horrible. I'm so wretched. Oh, look what I've done. Don't do that toward yourself. You never want to abuse yourself, and yet you're the person like me that gets mad at other people who abuse their wives physically or verbally or whatever, or wives with their husbands, and we get mad about that, but yet we do it to ourselves. So obviously it doesn't really trigger us as much as we think it does, right? Because if you recognize yourself as a human being born and made in the image of God in his likeness, you wouldn't do it yourself either. Are you with me? So don't do that. Make your life stress-free by actually eliminating the clutter of your life by not taking on other people's issues, but praying for them and taking to the throne and leaving it. And then look at your life and say, you know, well, you know what? I do work a 9-to-5 job, but you know what? My stress is what I'm bringing on myself. No one makes me stress out. And no matter what somebody says to you, you either receive the stress. Let me put it another way. Let's talk about it. Let me tell you how powerful you are, okay? Let me talk to you about the power of co-creation for a moment. When we deal with decluttering your life and living a stress-free zone, you know, type of life, here's what happens. When someone comes to you and they're just, and they're just all talking your ears off and you're at your desk, and all of a sudden when you start feeling that feeling of stress begin to arise in your belly, you know, sometimes you almost get that sick feeling in your belly. You start feeling almost like the, oh, you know, I just get sick to my stomach. It's like, will they ever shut up? You know, what are they doing? What are they talking about? You know, and all this other stuff. But yet, when you look at that, you realize one thing. That is that person actually getting inside of your body and impregnating you with stress? No. Because what happens is you are the hearer of their words, but you're also the one that processes those words. And what that means is if you process those words, then you process them the way you wanted to receive them. How many just got that? And so as a powerful creator, you're going to start feeling that stress. Oh, would she ever shut up? Oh, would you ever leave me alone? Oh, I'm getting too many emails. So what do? You begin to create a stress level inside of you. Unless somebody actually puts their hand in your body and put stress in your body, no one gave you stress. You created the stress based on external things that you saw on the outside of you. So external visuals, external audios, those things don't have stress. In other words, they can have stress, but they don't have to give you stress. No one gives you stress, okay? Let me put it to you this way, and I'm not trying to get graphic, but when you deal with, say, a man and a woman, when they have intercourse, you know, they have sex to be able to maybe, you know, get pregnant for the child. Well, see, that's the part of you that you have to realize is it's called, you know, intercourse for a reason. And so, therefore, guess what? That actually takes two people to tango. It takes two people to create a baby. But no one, unless they're getting inside of you, gives you stress. You're creating that stress and don't realize the power of your co-creatorship in God, that you're creating the stress. because they didn't give it to you. They might have stress themselves, but they can't give it to you unless they actually reach in there and into your body and impregnate you with their stress. Unless that happens, folks, which I doubt it would ever happen, unless it'd probably kill you if they did. But other than that, that means you are creating your stress. If you can create your stress, you can create your peace. You can create your joy. You can create your happiness. Can you see what I'm saying, folks? People don't realize how powerful they are. Now, one more point that I want to give you guys today is this as well, and that is learn to be a minimalist. And now, when we say learn to be a minimalist, I'm not really that person, but I'm trying to be that person. Because when you look at documentaries on Netflix and it's called Minimalist, you realize some people have neglected to have any material goods. They've neglected to have big homes, big cars, big this, big that. And a lot of times people tend to, when they hear the message, law of attraction, they get into the Bible, and God wants to give you exceedingly abundantly above all you're able to ask or think, then all of a sudden we get tied up to the world. We get tied up in materialism. And what that means is we get tied up and we wrapped around it as far as having the visuals of what we perceive that to look like. So if God's going to give to me exceedingly abundantly, he never said what he's going to give me. He didn't say, God's going to give me exceedingly abundantly a new car, a house. No, because he leaves it up to you. Hear me out. God will give you exceedingly, or do for you exceedingly abundantly above all you're able to ask or think. That means he's not naming the thing. You're the one naming the thing. You're the one putting a definition to the from the world to that scripture. I love it because scripture is pretty sly and it's pretty full of wisdom on a lot of those scriptures, because you think, oh, but God said. No, hold on a minute. Did God say that? Did God say you're going to have a new house or car? Unless you've been prophesied to, or you're at your dream, or you whatever, that you know God's given you. If he hasn't, don't be reading the world's terminology and definitions into the scripture, because when you do that, here's what happens. When you begin to say, yes, that means I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. When you're beginning to have a new house, are you mature enough to handle the house? Now, a lot of times you will hear me say, has your mind prospered to the level of understanding that level of money to know how to handle it? If you haven't, you're going to have an overload mentally, consciously, and you're not going to be able to succeed because your mind can't level the measurement of what that wealth conscious or that outside wealth would look like. Okay, so therefore, if my mind hasn't prospered to that level, then I'm not going to be able to sustain it. There's no humanly way possible for me to sustain it unless a miracle attack takes place. So other than that, though, you have to also understand that if most people just automatically attach the world's system or the world's materialism to the abundance of what God said he's going to give you, and so they formulate their own definition, which is nothing wrong with it to a degree, but when you begin to start taking the world's definition and putting it to it of what you think the materialism or wealth or millionaireism looks like, do you hear what I said? There's my new word, millionaireism. when you attach that to it, you're forgetting, do you realize you have property taxes to pay at the end of the year, own a big home in a nice neighborhood? Can you afford that? Do you realize you have, you know, insurance you have to pay for a big home? Do you realize you have maintenance, upkeep on pools, swimming pools, on the land, on yard work? Do you realize that in a huge home you have a lot more maintenance to it? So see, people think for a moment, I'm going to believe God for this and this and this, and the reason why their mind goes to a worldly definition is simply because of the fact they've never prospered mentally to know how to handle it, because they don't know the wisdom it takes to be able to invest your life more into the bigger things, because there's going to come greater maintenance, greater responsibility, greater this, greater that, bigger property taxes. I mean, for example, there's a huge area here in Birmingham it's very, very wealthy, and I live right sort of borderline to it, and it's actually it's where Courtney Cox was raised, if you guys remember her from Friends. It's where a lot of famous people actually live, believe it or not, here in Alabama, and then we have old money here. And my point being is, if you live within the city limits of Mountain Brook, which is called, then your property tax yearly is like skyrocket. It's high, and some people pay between $20,000 and $35,000 a year for property tax. Where I live now, my property tax is $2,500 a year. Now, for me, that's nothing. But the key thing is, when people don't realize that, you know, well, you live in a big home, Jeremy. Well, I do, but I also use wisdom to know exactly where it needed to be located to where I could afford it, and my property tax could be what I can have, to where I can still have the overflow of God in my life without living paycheck to paycheck. And so, therefore, you have to remember that when you're living with peace, you have to learn to be also a minimalist, because being a minimalist means that you will not have full responsibility. You won't have stress all the time on, will I make my payment? Unless you've got the money to do this, then don't do it. Live like a minimalist, because you don't want extra pressure and strain on your life of things that you are causing. No one forced you to have that new car. No one forced you to have the BMW. No one forced you to have a big home. No one forced you to take that trip. And so you got to remember, sometimes minimalists are some of the most happiest people, because they understand, I don't have the stress of other people have. And so think about these things when it deals with peace, because peace means nothing missing, nothing broken. It means you're holding complete, not lacking in anything. And peace is what you want to be able to keep intact. If you can sustain your peace, and you can use these points and scriptures also to help sustain your peace, then you're going to have a happy life. So I would say to you during this quarantine time, live the life of your dreams by finding out things you can eradicate, get rid of, and live your life in a stress-free zone to where you can live the peace that you need, because it's God's peace that surpasses all the natural understanding. So the natural understanding, here's what you can do. Take the natural understanding and begin to make minimalist of it. Your natural understanding, I can't pay this, then make a minimalist of your life, and that way the natural understanding will actually already calm down, and then that peace can definitely override it a lot quicker and a lot easier. So remember that, folks. It'll help you out a whole lot. All right, so I hope each and every one of you have a dynamic, blessed week this week. Don't forget to create. You've got the power in you to create this joy, create the peace, create the happiness that you're looking for. God's already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. You've got it in you, folks. All right, so I'll say this to some people. I'll say, don't be stupid, be wise. Because I know sometimes I can be really stupid on stuff, but I'm learning to be wise on my life so I can live the life that God meant for me to live. I can attract what I need to attract, and I could create what I need to create, and my life is doing pretty good at the moment. So I want your life to be doing good too, because you deserve it. You deserve the best things that God has for you. But He didn't create the stress for you, you did. So declutter yourself, declutter your life, and watch God move on your behalf, all right? I want everyone to be blessed. And by the way, if you have not gotten the Hot Off the Press Monthly Book Club, you're missing out. Get signed up today for that book club to get my new books every month. You're going to love them. You guys have a blessed day. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.